The Cleveland Browns are now on the clock.
Where the hell is Sonny, guys? We're on the clock here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Should be here.
Okay, so the Browns now have 10 minutes on the clock to make a choice, and if they don't do that in that time, the team picking behind them can then jump up and potentially steal away the player the Browns wanted. It's a situation we saw play out in 2003 with the Minnesota Vikings, and it happened again in 2011 with the Baltimore Ravens.
New tradition, guys. All right, when this team starts winning, we'll come back to that.
This is With an Ohio Bias, a podcast for real fans with D and Jake. You can find our podcast in the Google Play Store for Android users, on iTunes for Apple users, and on the Stitcher app, which is available on all platforms for both tablets and phones, and also on Apple AirPlay within cars. Please rate and review us on those platforms. Also, give us a like on Facebook, and please follow us at With an Ohio Bias on Twitter. You can always listen to any of our podcasts at withanohiobias.com as well. NFL Draft 2018. What are the Browns going to do to mess this one up? No. What are the Browns going to do, ladies and gentlemen? What is John Dorsey going to do? You got myself and Jake here. We're going to break this one down in a little faster session than we usually do. We're going to give you our top five prospects, the guys with the bust potential if they were to be with the Browns, selected by the Cleveland Browns. We're going to then, you know, talk about the confidence level that we have in this front office. Yet again, a new front office with John Dorsey, GM, Lonzo Highsmith, and Elliot Wolf. Some guys in the front office and some old guys still in the front office, Andrew Berry. Talk about some of the offseason moves they already made to shore up the Browns for next season and start getting some wins. And then, of course, get into the strategy and the predictions for what we think the Browns will do in the first and second round. We're not going a full seven rounds like we usually do. We just want to touch base because we did get some requests out there, Jake. So looking at this thing, Jake, I mean, let's start with the quarterback because that's number one. I mean, I figure we'll go through the other prospects that we like for the other picks, but I'm a Josh Allen fan, man. There's no other way around it. I think Sam Darnold is too safe. Ugh. Plus, those 27 interceptions scare me. Plus, the lineage of no USC quarterback being good. And just if you really want to know why, it might be the Wentz effect, man. Give me the big arm from the rural school out of the big sky country, man, and let's see what this kid can do.
You can get him and his 56% completion percentage at Wyoming. It's not like he was playing against Georgia and Alabama. And I know the wide receivers aren't the greatest thing in the world, but I'm talking about 56%. Has there ever been a quarterback in the NFL who's ever succeeded with a completion percentage under 60%? And to me, it's a big arm Jeff George. You know, that's who he is to me. He's not the next Carson Wentz in my mind. I think the best talent and the most upside right now is Sam Darnold. And to be honest with you, D, I don't think he's worth the first overall pick. If it were up to me and I were John Dorsey, I wouldn't pick a quarterback with my first two picks. I might be looking at the first pick in the second round and maybe somebody like Lamar Jackson. Or I know we're going to get the comparison to Brandon Whedon, but a Mason Rudolph. And I know that's a little outside the box, but you're not doing anything that is that's going to hurt your team. You're getting two studs with those first two picks, whether that's Chubb or Micah Fitzpatrick or whoever it might end up being. I think that would be an option for me. Also, trading out of one of those two picks would be an option. I think Tyrod Taylor can buy you a couple of years, and I'm not in love with any of these quarterbacks, really. Who knows what ends up happening as people start falling and stuff. But, you know, Deshaun Kizer was the same way. I feel the same way about Kizer last year that I feel about your guy this year. And it was that he's got all the shiny, pretty things. But when it comes to being able to complete a 15-yard crossing route over the middle consistently, I don't trust either one of them.
Well, here's where it's Brown-centric, you know what I'm saying? And I agree with you at the spot where I wouldn't take a quarterback here, but we know that the Browns are in their hand is forced that they have to. I would be right there with you. I would take Chubb at number one and, you know, wheel and deal at number four, get real crazy. But there's no need to even go down that road because I don't see that happening. I'll tell you who I'm not taking is Baker Mayfield. I'm not taking another six-foot guy. I don't care how. You can throw all the stats about his completion percentage out there, and it's just it makes me physically ill. The guy's attitude, everything, that guy is not going to succeed with the Cleveland Browns in in an NFL season, especially coming in with an attitude that he doesn't want to sit. I think that's the big thing that gives Josh Allen or any of these quarterbacks taken at that first pick, you know, a chance, because they will probably be paying for a whole another system. Or as one of my new favorite Twitter accounts, Jake, Todd Haley as interim coach at some point. But that's I don't want to get down a Hugh Jackson rabbit hole. I want to stay with the draft. But you understand what I'm saying? So, like, that theory of you, or, I mean, what you're throwing out there, that's why I wouldn't take a quarterback either at number one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I see a coaching change on the horizon here very soon.
No, it would be a zoo and a circus if you took Baker Mayfield and all the hype and everything you would have to put behind him. I don't know if he can live up to the expectations of the Browns fans. That's why I think that, to me, I don't even bother with a quarterback in those first couple picks. This team needs a lot of stuff. But at the same time, this team is also it's close. You know, I mean, with the added pieces with Landry and the other free agent acquisitions, having Josh back this year for a full season, Tyrod Taylor comes in. I've seen stupider things happen in the league than a team turn around in 1 year. Look at the Rams from last year. So to me, let's get, you know, who's winning Super Bowls? The Philadelphia Eagles, the two monster defensive ends. Who's winning Super Bowls? Denver Broncos with Vaughn, what's his name?
Vaughn Miller.
With Vaughn Miller and DeMarcus Ware. So, to me, I want to get that other bookend, defensive end, and build wherever my strength is. Look what Seattle was able to do with a defense for a three-year span. To me, the quarterback position, it's still the most important position in all sports, but it's not as important as it was 5-7 years ago in my mind.
Now, I will say this, man. The one thing I think about with Tyrod Taylor, I think about him staying upright, and this is where I give DeSean Kizer, and this was the one thing that I thought about, Jake, too. This is why I like the big, strong kid from Wyoming. Durability. The Browns' history. DeSean Kizer was the first Browns quarterback in a long time to go 15-16. And that was because he left the one game with the concussion, but came back, you know what I mean, got through the protocol the next week. Like, I don't know that any of these guys, even Tyrod Taylor, is going to make it to week 16. I mean, it's just flat out the way it is. And that's just, it's just the way it goes for the Browns. I mean, like, I can't dance around it. Plus, here's the other thing. We might as well address this too, Jake. I don't want Saquon Barkley, because he
Hell
is a
no.
great player, but he will not Stay fit away. With the Browns. Hugh Jackson doesn't run the ball. I'm sorry for the Saquon squad out there. Everybody's screaming the Browns should take him at one. Hugh Jackson doesn't run the ball. Why are you taking a Corvette when you know your guy can't drive stick? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
That would be so asinine to take Saquon Barkley here with what you need with Cleveland. I mean, just look no further than our GM in taking Kareem Hunt last year in the second round. I love Barkley, and he could turn out to be the next Emmitt Smith or whoever the hell, Adrian Peterson. But to me, it's still a position that you can get someone that's going to be very, very helpful to your team, that's going to be able to do the things that guy would be able to do mostly. But you can't get that from a defensive end in the second and third round. You know, you can't get that from an offensive tackle or whatever the position is. Running back seems to be the only position that if you have a superstar available, the third or fourth guy will probably get you maybe a little bit less, but it's going to keep you in what you want to do as far as down and distance and having a legitimate threat. Just thinking of all the running backs that have come out in the second and third and fourth rounds, that it's way too much of equity into Saquon Barkley for this team. This team needs to build defense right now still.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I would go defense. I'd go Chubb if at four. I would even go Roquan Smith. I mean, I would really stack it up because
Denzel
I think they
Ward.
Still need help at – I think they still need help at linebacker. We need cornerbacks, but we need a bigger – we actually need a safety, man. I don't know what's going on with these Browns. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know why this is such a big deal. I mean, a big glaring hole. But, I mean, as much as we need corners, we need a safety too. I don't think Denzel Ward would fit well with the Browns and what they do, honestly, man. I mean, I think he's going to be great somewhere else, like every other DB that has went past. But,
probably Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this right now. I still like Derwin James. Now, I know you can't take him at four, but I think he's one of the best prospects on the board defensively, and he fits the need that he's a ball hawk that would change what we do on defense. We've got to change what we do on defense, not just be good enough to stop. And that's why I think, like, Jake, I'm not trying to go through that whole thing, but that's why I think we're a little further away than you do, just because we're not affecting the game with the talent that we do have, even if it is a Myles Garrett or anybody else or Jabril Peppers, because those guys don't make an impact when they're on the field. Like, they make a couple plays here and there, but you don't get an impact player. And that's what I'm hoping if you do have bookends. But you bring up the Eagles, they got eight guys like that. So that's what the Browns need to do in this draft when they go all the way through, is stack depth at those defensive positions. And I think that should be the real strategy. When we look at offense, they're going to take a quarterback. If it's Sam Darnold, that's fine. He sits. Hopefully Tyrod Taylor makes it through the season. Hopefully they grab somebody in the second round, a Sonny Michel, really like Derek Geist, you know, one of these other running backs. Because I'm going to tell you like this too, as much as I talk about the durability at the quarterback position, we know I love him. Duke Johnson's going to get hurt. Carlos Hyde has never been healthy. If you ever played fantasy football and had that guy on your roster, he's always a scratch going into a week. Love him. He's a Buckeye. Thank God we turned the corner on that, Jake. We actually have a Buckeye on the Browns.
You sound a little jaded.
Yeah, but we're going to need another guy. And so hopefully that, you know, running back, but they're not going to be forced in a position where they've got to be the savior. So I think that might be something that the Browns are moving into. With Dorsey and his new regime, that they're able to actually spread talent out over the whole team rather than it be all focused on, like we were pinning our hopes on last year of Myles Garrett, you know, having 15 sacks or something like that.
Well, I agree. I think that part of this, though, is in why Jabril Pepper and Myles Garrett haven't had the impact yet that we wanted to. First, I mean, Garrett was hurt half the season. Who knows how hurt he was when he was actually playing. Jabril was kind of lost in no man's land most of last year. And I'm not trying to make excuses for them, but what I'm trying to say is if you add a Bradley Chubb, everybody starts getting a little bit better because now you're not seeing all the double teams. You know what I mean? And if you add a cornerback that's a big-time threat, and maybe it's not Denzel Ward, but whoever it might be, now you make the next guy, Jabril Peppers, a little bit better because he can be a little bit more free as far as roaming and trying to be a ball hawk. So I think that there's definitely this team has a long way to go defensively, but I think these pieces are there, and that's why I think it's so important that you add more elite talent so that the elite talent that you had last year has a better chance of succeeding because of the other elite talent.
I'm going to go through a couple other guys. Another guy that I think would have bust potential that he would not fit with the Browns. I'm not saying he's going to be bad anywhere else. It's just when people come to Cleveland, it's just a little bit tougher, as everybody knows, is Mika Fitzpatrick. I think we get more of the same with Jabril Peppers, a guy that doesn't have a true position or at least didn't play one to an elite level in college. He was everything for Alabama on that defense. Playmaker, no doubt. You know, ball hawk, yes, sir. But, you know, he wasn't a shutdown corner. He wasn't a shutdown safety. And they're projecting him now as a slot guy, nickel, to come into the NFL. That's not going to help the Browns right now. So that's another guy that wouldn't be high on my list, Jake.
No, I'm with you there. I mean, I think trading back one of these two picks is a legit possibility. Especially if somebody wants Saquon Barkley bad enough. And, you know, would it kill us to move back towards the back of the first round and add another first rounder next year and get somebody like a Billy Price, you know, that's going to be a center for this team for 10 years? I mean, that's what I'm talking about. You know, you've got to keep adding players that are going to be stalwarts on your team for the next 4, 5, 6 years anyway. I need guys that love to play football and are good in the locker room. That's all I give a shit about. Do you love playing football? Are you good at playing football? Screw 40 times and whatever you did in college. I want guys that are hungry, that want to be in the film room, especially a guy at quarterback. He needs to be in there before anybody else gets in there and needs to be there when everybody else is gone.
If they were to go down, they could pick up a guy like Josh Jackson, a cornerback from Iowa, who is in that mid area, that teenish area, that 10, 12, 13 area, maybe 15, 16, 17, at least projected. Also, maybe Harold Landry, you know, like there's a lot of guys out there that they could go to that would, like, fit that mold. The only thing is, Jake, I mean, they've got to – I think it's important for Dorsey to hold on to these picks and stay pat and show that he can draft and get guys. Just, I mean, it makes me feel better. It makes everybody feel better. I mean, like, makes everybody feel better. It would make a huge impact to show that, you know, because that's something we've had everybody come in a new regime, and that would be the same thing over again, a guy trading down. I'm for it, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying I think it's important for confidence moving forward, and I know that's not something we should be trying to sell, but you got to do something to fill those seats come next year because this team, as you know, that record is not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, nobody likes to trade down. You want to take the best available player as quick and as high up as you can. But I think that Dorsey's not worried about perception in my mind. He comes off as very confident and knows what he's doing and is coming here to do what he knows how to do. You know, what he's the guy who took Patrick Mahomes and Kareem Hunt last year. You know, a couple guys traded way up. So who knows? He might like someone really good and trade up. And, you know, that's how the draft works anymore. You know, all these mock drafts and everything else, by the time you get to the third or fourth pick, it's already busted up. And most people have maybe 16 of the 32 first-round picks anywhere near where they were going to be taken. So we just don't know. But I think we're definitely identifying the keys and what we need and what we really hope that John Dorsey is going to give us as far as an answer to this team being freaking miserable for the last third of my life.
Yeah, well, I'd say Tyrod Taylor definitely helps you win games. Maybe not the home opener. We'll talk about the schedule closing out the podcast here. But, I think he does help you win games. I think Jarvis Landry's some guy we liked for a long time. I mean, we both mutual. I mean, like, you drool at fantasy football when you see the numbers he put up for the Miami Dolphins over the last couple of years and just the physicality he plays with on the football field, being, you know, at his position and what he does is amazing. So I'm hopefully he brings that to Cleveland. And hopefully from the video and everything that he's doing, Jake, he's a new face. I mean, he's got the contract to match, but he's the new face of the franchise. I mean, he's automatically brought all these guys together along with hanging out with Tyrod Taylor. So I like seeing that. But maybe this is the veteran guy that you talk about, Josh Gordon. I mean, he seems to be staying out of trouble, knock on wood. But maybe Jarvis Landry has that impact on him where if we get a competition between who's going to be the better receiver every Sunday between Jarvis Landry and Josh Gordon. But let me put that on hold. When it comes to Dorsey, and the reason I bring up that strategy, I got excited for a second, and that's the kind of optimism that I can't have going into the draft. Because the problem with what you're talking about when it comes to Dorsey and those guys, like, and what he did in Kansas City, this situation, as we always talk about, is so specifically unique in Cleveland. Nobody has ever had this many picks. I mean, when's the last time Dorsey's had a 1 in 4 to play with? Or, you know, he's always been working from a seat of, you know, not a lot of holes to fill. And you can laser focus in on one or two guys. So you can find that gem if it's in the second round, third. This guy's got, you know, close to 12 picks that he's got to nail. Because yeah. Here's the other thing I really wanted to talk about, Jake. We finally got rid of Chris Tabor. So now we're going to turn the corner. And the biggest part, the biggest improvement that I want to see in this football team is special teams. And the guy that I want them to take in the second round is Christian Kirk from Texas A&M, get a true returner back there to be a burner. But also, too, in those late rounds, that's why I really want to go into it. All I want to see is, guys, you talk about love football, and I don't know if we get rid of the kickoff, that whole thing happens. But if we still got one this season, I want to see us winning some of those kickoffs and getting some returns and seeing Josh Cribbs scream from the sideline as a Browns employee.
Yeah. What I want to see out of our draft pick is love of football, speed, athleticism, and having a half a brain on your have a brain.
Definitely excited, and I am confident that they can do that, man. I'm just, you know, that anxiety starting to set in.
What else do you have to live for? You know, I mean, at this point, we've come this far.
Anybody else that you think of, like, I mean, like, I'll tell you this too. You know, I mean, most of these guys are guys that did in. I had pretty good performances when I seen them play. But the other guy that I think about late rounds is Simi Cobbs, the wide receiver from Indiana. Maybe make something out of him as a possession guy. I don't know. We've tried that before. I mean, we still got Hollywood Higgins on the roster. So maybe after that week 16 breakout game, he brings that to next season. I don't know. I'm not hoping on that. But I am very hopeful for the Browns. I mean, I like the brain trust that they have. I just want to see it come together. And I think we'll know that first night. Jake, we'll know Friday morning by 1-4 or if they trade down or whatever they do. I mean, we're going to know real quick. At least I will. I feel like I will, whether or not they're heading in the right direction.
Well, I mean, at this point, we know one thing. John Dorsey is not afraid of being bold. If anything, we found out that he's willing to completely restructure the team's offense and personnel within one day. I think he's going to do exactly what he thinks is the best move for the Cleveland Browns, and he's not a guy that's, you know, wishy-washy, that's taking opinions, that's, you know, wondering what the homeless dude wants to take. I think this guy is a no-nonsense. This is going to be my ultimate decision, and I'm going to make that decision based on the information that my scouts and the analysts give me.
Now, I'm not asking you to keep some ridiculous streak that Mike Mayock is claiming or anything like that, but what do you think the Browns do at 1-4 in that first round?
I think they will take a quarterback at one. I think they will take Sam Darnold on ultimately. And then at four, Chubb if he's there.
Yeah, I'm hoping for Chubb at four. I like that. I'm going with my gut, man. My gut says they're taking Josh.
Your guy.
At one.
Your guy. You lived and died with Kaiser last year. Remember that.
Hey, man, the guy was there at the end, man, still standing. What Browns quarterback can say that in a long time, man? It wasn't from some great plays, and Lord knows I don't want him calling any more quarterback sneaks, but he can take that on the road to Green Bay. But
yeah.
I mean, he was still standing, Jake. I mean, considering everything that was done, I mean, we'll have plenty of time to talk about that in the summer, man. He was still standing.
Honestly, that's the one.
And I was thinking about him as a backup. I'm not saying start him, but, I mean, hell, man, maybe he would have learned something. I don't know.
I've been saying this theory, and that was one move that I wish Dorsey wouldn't have made. Is you spend a second round pick on Kaiser, it's not hurting you to hang on to him anymore, and it's a unique opportunity that no NFL quarterback has really had to take advantage of, where you play as a rookie 15 games in a season, and then you have an opportunity to take a step back and watch a veteran for a year, and then come back and be whatever you're going to be. To me, I can't remember any time that would have happened. And I, like you said, I like Kaiser's size and arm strength and all the intangibles. And he's an Ohio kid, and he seems to be pretty intelligent and wants to work harder than anybody else on the team. And you know,
only
that's
caught
out
of the club twice, you know. So
yeah, you know, two times. I mean, it's a pretty big curve as far as going out in Cleveland as far as quarterbacks go. But I don't know. I guess, like I said, they know better than us as far as what they're seeing on the film and what's going on in meetings and team and everything else.
But it is the excitement too, man. I mean, I think about it. I'm fine with Sam Darnold also. I mean, I won't be, you know, jumping for joy, high-fiving.
Who aren't
anybody.
You fine with? Is it
I'm not
Baker
fine with
it.
I've said it Baker Mayfield.
What about Rosen?
And I'm also not fine with – I mean, even though I like Rosen, I'm not fine with him because I don't know what's going on with that dude. Like, I've never seen the negative – like just a negative buzz around a guy who really did nothing but play decent. I mean, he kind of reminds me of, like, Aaron Rodgers in college. Like, had some great wins. Even better than Aaron Rodgers' college career at Cal, actually. You know what I'm saying? UCLA, that game they came back against Texas Tech. But this guy just literally nobody likes this guy. Like, you know,
he reminds
what I mean?
Me of Jay Cutler.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's actually a good comparison. That's a good comparison. Yeah, no. But see, I think he's like when I see him, he's got more personality than Cutler. Cutler's just a nasty fellow,
yeah.
Man, as they say. You know what I mean? He's just a bad seed. That seed, as they say. So, but that is true. That is a great comparison. Thinking about him coming out of Vanderbilt, people really didn't know what to make of his personality and whatnot. Man, I really wish, like you brought it up, and you know, I was feeling that same way too. If they could get around it and take Chubb at one, but I know they won't do that. I just know.
You got to trade out at one. If you're not going to take the quarterback at one, you got to trade out and give somebody their quarterback.
Let me ask you this: if they trade out of one, and then we get Chubb at four still, and you know somehow, depending on who they trade with, whatever, get you know one of those four guys. Are you fine with that? Even if it's Allen, Darnold, whoever. I mean, like, I mean that's a make a wish scenario, but
The quarterbacks that I would take a chance on would be Darnold, and I would have an open mind for Mayfield, just because of his, you know, his, again, love for football, his competitive edge, his willing to work hard. There's a lot of intangibles, and I know we're going to get the Manziel comparisons, but he's not Johnny Manziel. He's not going out swan swimming on an inflatable swan. He's not putting money to his ear and say he can't hear you because he's got so much fucking money or whatever the hell he said. I think that'll be an unfair comparison. And from what I've seen, I like that intangible stuff, but at the same time, it's that balance. You know, you like Allen because of all the measurables. I like Darnold because he's got the measurables plus a little bit of an edge to him. I like my quarterback to have a little bit of an edge to him.
Yeah, I think about Josh Allen. You just made me think about something when you were telling about Baker Mayfield. Now, one thing is, the guy does have the dance moves now. He would have to moonwalk his way back from those comments and one to start. I think about Josh Allen. I kind of think about Paxton Lynch, and you could go reverse with the stats. Paxton Lynch completion percentage coming out of Memphis was unreal, but that guy hasn't worked out. So, I mean, as you always say, man, it's a crapshoot. They got the information, all that stuff, but I really think the Browns do. I mean, my heart, I'm being funny. I mean, I think they're going Darnold too, honestly. I think they're going to take Darnold, but I'm hoping that they get Chubb too. So if they get Chubb, I'm happy, and I think that's the way it's going to go, man. I think if it just goes that clean and straightforward, I'll be happy too, because you know what? It wasn't a shit show on draft night like we've seen before.
Yeah, the only thing that I hope for, and I've heard rumors out there, people, all the talking heads at ESPN love to kick around the Browns, and that's fine. Do not take two quarterbacks with 1 and 4. Please, just don't, because it's going to make us
look stupid. I've advocated for that on the podcast in past years, but this is not the year to do it.
It's going to make us look stupid.
No, this is not the quarterbacks are just not there. It's not those guys.
Right.
It's not too worth taking that high. Like, you know what I
mean? Man, does that look desperate or what? If you did something like that.
Well, I would be fine with that position if we didn't have Tyrod Taylor. And shout out to John Dorsey for that, for getting these guys here. I mean, people were crying, Dustin Fox, belly aching about Jarvis Landry getting that contract, man. I mean, I'm sorry you didn't get paid that much when you're in the NFL. I don't know where else the hate could come from, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it points to nothing else but pure jealousy. I mean, I'm sorry, man. I love Dustin Fox. But, man, what is this guy's problem with Jarvis Landry's contract? I mean, this guy cried about it for a whole week on the radio. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. The guy's on for 5 hours every night. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, Jarvis Landry is going to get about $100,000 per yard. So we'll see if that. But,
we're not going to be 1-15 next year. That's what I do feel confident in. So,
right. Me too.
And whoever comes in that draft, 1-4. Yeah, whoever comes in 1-4, I think they're going to be a help to that some way, somehow, if it's practice squad, if it's getting other guys ready. And then, like you said, what's your prediction looking at the schedule, the way you looked at it, and your opening game prediction?
10-6.
All right, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Get your playoff ticket. Hey, don't ask Mike Holmgren for playoff tickets, but make your plans accordingly. So.
Nope. We actually missed the playoffs at 10-6 again. It's a very Cleveland Browns thing to do. Heartbreaker, but hey, Steelers are pretty good.
I think they win 5 games. I think they win 5 games. We got plenty of time
six.
To break that down.
I'll take 6. 5.
I'll take
half,
the over whatever
the
Vegas
total.
Puts up. They usually give
five
us like
half.
5 or 6. Yeah, 5.5. Yeah, I'll take
5.5.
I'll take the 6 then. I'll go with you with the 6. And that's just, once again, that's Josh Allen optimism with that 6. So, there you go. I could be singing a whole different tune come Friday morning. So get ready for that, ladies and gentlemen, on social media. So, but one quick thing as we close out the podcast, Jake, we know that, you know, you talked about possibly getting the center. I don't think there's a good enough offensive lineman. First of all, there'd never be a good enough offensive lineman in this draft, probably, or many to come, that could replace Joe Thomas. Your thoughts on Joe Thomas's retirement? How you remember his career right now? Do you need more time with it? And let's get ready for a big on the road podcast when the guy goes in the Hall of Fame here in 5 years.
Yeah, Joe's got an interesting, you know, spot in Cleveland Browns history in my mind. You know, maybe the best player in Browns history to never play a playoff game. you know, it's a really weird situation how good he was and how much we wasted his career. You know, he seems like a good guy. He's funny. He's smart. He'll do great on TV here eventually. He'll be a Hall of Famer one day. And in the grand scheme of things, he did absolutely nothing except for start a bunch of games in a row.
Well, Joe Thomas was my emotional MVP and champion. Whenever I felt down about the Browns, I could always look to this guy who we knew was going into the Hall of Fame, and I felt better no matter what the situation was. And the metamorphosis he had as a person, just, you know, being the spokesperson for the Browns in every bad situation and stepping up to the mic, you know, after a game, getting injured, you know, being hurt. I mean, I think about the season with him and Alex Mack when it was coming together, the season of dreams. I mean, he was a winner when it was winning time. I mean, I think about him, you know, dancing with Brian Hoyer after that Tennessee Titans comeback. I mean, there was times when he was a winner, when the team, those rare times when the team won. And the guy was just, he was the fans. Emotional MVP, and I think that's why. I mean, it might not be a connection that other people see around the league and whatnot. I mean, his peers respect him, so he'll go in the Hall of Fame on their recommendation alone, that from the media. But I think that's why there'll be throngs of Browns fans there, because he's that emotional connection that they had to a maybe probably the worst era of football in not only this team's history, but maybe even the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, he's been the best thing for the Cleveland Browns, as far as a player and, you know, a guy you can look up to and let your kids get a jersey and all that sort of stuff. You know, maybe Josh Cribbs would be a close second or maybe slightly ahead, but obviously the career is, it speaks for itself, and what he, the record of being able to start so many games in a row in a league where injuries just happen. I mean, you could go out on the field and stub your toe and not play on a Sunday. And this guy answered the bell all the way to the end. So, yeah, hats off, respect to Joe Thomas, and hope we get to hear him weekly in a broadcast booth calling the Browns games.
Yeah, small fortress of solitude in an era of losing. And I just remember you saying after that game, we had did a show, man, that that might be the last we seen. You were right, man. And that's just crazy. That's just crazy, just, you know, the way that it ended. But, I mean, this guy is in such good spirits, and that comedic performance he gave, even though I don't think the jokes are going over, and I don't think the Browns organization even knew he was going to go that deep through the greatest negative hits, as you could call it, you know, at his retirement, you know, announcement. But, yeah, man, I did hear one good thing, Jake. Well, not one good thing, but one good suggestion, that they should rename, you know, the area outside Joe Thomas Way, so it would be like Joe Thomas Block. I thought that was a pretty cool idea. I can't. It was some guy called to the radio with it, but I just thought that was a pretty cool idea, and I think that would be the best way, because they were talking about putting him in the Ring of Fire or Ring of Fire, Ring of Honor,
Ring
stuff
of
like
fire.
That. I mean, that's a little
nice,
bit
Johnny Cash.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it feels like the Browns are in the Ring of Fire right now, going into this draft. But yeah, you know,
it's 99.
I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's kind of catchy and makes a lot of sense. You know, you got Paul Warfield Drive and Jim Brown Drive, I'm sure, somewhere. We know Groza for sure, with the headquarters. I think he's deserved a street, and I think he's deserved even more than a street. I think he deserves a whole block.
Well, he definitely earned our respect. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Get ready for the Sam Darnold champagne toasting come Thursday night. No. But, Jake, what do you guys got coming up on the score in there, Jake?
ScoreOnAir.com. Actually, you can check out for the draft. We're going to have a draft show on the Ohio Media School Facebook page. It'll be a live stream with some of the young up-and-coming sports broadcasters here in the industry, breaking down some of the positions and the surprises. And we'll be on alert for Larry Tunsil to show up with a mask of marijuana. So it should be a good time. Check that out this Friday, and is draft Thursday or Friday?
Thursday night.
Yeah,
Thursday night. First round.
Thursday night, man. And then ScoreOnAir.com, the new generation of sports talk, the up and comers, different shows every hour. You got the CBJ, Columbus Crew, You got everything from video games to reality TV. A lot of good content, scoreandair.com.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. As always, go Browns. And we'll talk at you next time with some new Browns players. We appreciate you listening, and we're out. Give us a 1/4 take.